from Jakarta, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listeners, welcome to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Here is our program summary for today. We will bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We will continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We will conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, read by Ahmad Faisal. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo appoints Shafiq Mughni to become an envoy for interfaith dialogue. Vice President Yusuf Kalla holds meetings with Islamic organization leaders. Now news in details. President Joko Widodo appointed Shafiq Mughni to become the Presidential Special Envoy for Interfaith Dialogue and Civilization Cooperation, or UKPDKAAP, to replace Dean Shamsuddin, who resigned on 21st September. Based on a press release from the UKPDKAAP office in Jakarta on Friday, after being appointed as a special envoy based on Presidential Decree No. 52/018, Shafiq Mughni will be deactivated from his position as chairperson of the Muhammadiyah Central Leadership of Interfaith Relations and Civilization. President Joko Widodo assigned Shafiq Mughni to develop interfaith dialogue and cooperation, both at home and abroad. Based on the presidential decree, Shafiq assumes the mandate to promote the lives of Indonesian Muslims based on the Wasatiyah principle. Shafiq Mughni is a professor of Islamic civilization at Sunan Ampel Islamic University in Surabaya. He also served as chancellor of the Muhammadiyah University of Sidoarjo and became chairman of Muhammadiyah Regional Leadership in East Java. Vice President Yusuf Kalla held a meeting with the leaders of Islamic organizations at his official residence in Jakarta on Friday night. He was accompanied by Chief of National Police or Polri, Tito Karnavian, Minister of State Secretary Pratikno, Minister of Religious Affairs Lukman Hakim Saifuddin, and Chief of Indonesian Armed Forces or TNI Hadi Cahyanto. The meeting that began around 7:30 local time was attended by General Chairperson of PP Muhammadiyah Haidar Nasir, Chairperson of Syarikat Islam Hamdan Zulfa, Chairperson of MUI Ma'ruf Amin, Deputy Chairperson of the MUI Zainud Tauhid, Muslim Scholar Azumardi Azra, Chairperson of the Persis PP Advisory Panel Maman Abdurrahman, and PBNU Chairman Said Akil Siroj. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi hopes that the young generations will again understand the momentum of Youth Odd Pledge Day to respect and maintain unity so that conflict will not occur as it happens in many other countries. This was affirmed by Minister Retno Marsudi when giving a public lecture in the series of Diplomacy Festival at the Senate Hall of Gajah Mada University, Yogyakarta on Friday afternoon. Before hundreds of students, she described how uncomfortable the life is in a society if the people do not trust each other, don't respect each other, even fears arise. Minister Retno expects such situation will not happen in Indonesia. The Indonesian nation must also learn about the experiences of other nations that have been torn by conflict and prolonged war due to distrust among citizens. Therefore, she calls for the youths to commemorate the 19th Youth Pledge Day on October 28 as a revival of unity over the diversity of the Indonesian nation. Coordinating Minister of Human Development Puan Maharani opened Fair of Real Work or PKN in 2018 at Koni Serio Square, Manado City, North Sulawesi on Friday. This year's Mental Revolution of Fair of Real Work is held on October 26 up to 28. In his remarks, Minister Puan emphasized the importance of regulating the mental revolution as an effort to advance the nation and the state. The PKN Mental Revolution activities began with the simultaneous action movement of 34 provinces in the month of monitoring the Mental Revolution movement, which has taken place from 1st to 31st October. In addition, ahead of the implementation of the PKN Mental Revolution, Secretariat of the Mental Revolution at the Coordinating Ministry has held a pre-activity, a citizen meeting forum in the city of Manado, which was attended by students and the community. Through the activity, participants were asked to make the positive messages viral in a bid to enliven the PKN Mental Revolution event by uploading on social media entitled PKNRM 18 IO Change. Indonesian and Egyptian business people have signed business deals worth $67.5 million during the 5-day Trade Expo Indonesia TEI 2018, which will end on Sunday. This was reported by Indonesian Embassy in Cairo in a statement released on Friday. Indonesian Trade Ministry has routinely organized the largest trade expo in Indonesia in a bid to boost its export to friendly countries. During the expo held at the Indonesian Convention Exhibition in Bumi Serpong Damai, Tangerang, Banten, the Indonesian Embassy in Cairo has successfully assisted in the signing of 6 agreements between business people of the two countries, with a total value of $67.5 million. The 6 agreements include between coffee producer PT Asal Jaya and Hagang Co-Import Export Co. and Groups with a value of $30 million, tire producers PT Gajah Tunggal and Baraka Contracting and Trading valued at $20 million, and coconut, spice and essential oil producer PT Global Coconut and Elhamd Co. for Import and Export with a value of $8 million. Indonesia has mineral resources that can be utilized in the field of electricity. However, Indonesia still depends on import material of electricity. This was stated by researcher of physics research at LIPI, Ahmad Subhan, to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia after media briefing related to development of superconductor and electrode lithium battery at Media Center of LIPI in Jakarta on Friday. He also said that the development of superconductor and electrode lithium battery will support the need of electricity in Indonesia.
Ya, kami sebagai pengembang bagian dari tugasnya penelitian ya, kita berharap.
We as part of developers of the research hope that the research will be supported by the government, but it must be done seriously and we have an appropriate target. We need support so that it is more focused. Meanwhile, another researcher of metallurgy and material at LIPI, Agung Imaduddin, in the media briefing said that Since 2010, the demand in the global market has been increasing significantly for especially superconductor type of high temperature superconductors. He said that the implementation of superconductor material can reduce energy loss and it is environmentally friendly. Agung also stated that it needs cooperation to develop it to industry scale so that it can make superconductor wire with long scale. He added that the application of superconductor wire can be done for conductor, energy storage, transformer, electric motorcycle, as well as medical devices. The Indonesian government encourages all people to improve the use of Indonesian language in daily communication. This was stated by Head of Language Development Agency, Dadang Sunendar, while talking to RI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Friday. He said there are still many commercial advertisements amidst the community that dominate the use of foreign languages. He explained that this is a nod for the government to further increase efforts by using Indonesian language more practically amidst the people.
Kita juga masih melihat bahwa masih ada sebagian masyarakat kita yang masih merasa belum bangga menggunakan bahasa Indonesia sebagai bahasa negara. Masih ada.
We still also see that there are still some of our people who have not been proud to use Indonesian as the state language. There are still people who feel inferior when they speak Indonesian. There is also a part of our society from an economic side. For example, when trading in business, they feel great. It can be more expensive, more prestigious, and so on. This is a note for all of us. Then another note we see in the public space is that there are so many advertisements. Then these announcements and information still use foreign languages. Besides in commemorating the Language and Literature Month in Indonesia, the Language Development Agency also called for all stakeholders, including heads of regional provinces and private sectors, to prioritize the use of Indonesian language in the public space. He also said that Indonesian is a national identity that must be preserved and improved. That's the news, read by Ahmad Faisal.
From across the country, unique and interesting information from across Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome to News from Across the Country, which presents interesting information from around Indonesia within a week. The first news came from Yogyakarta. To preserve the Macapat culture or Tembang songs, which contains the advice of human life in the view of Javanese society, the Bantul Regency Cultural Service, Yogyakarta, held a 72-hour non-stop mass Macapat gathering. Hundreds of people took part in the activity, which was held from Tuesday to Friday in the Sasana Krida District Office of the Region of Bantul. The head of Bantul Regency Cultural Service, Sunarto, said on Tuesday that the recitation of Macapat was the second time after it had been conducted in 2008 with a duration of 48 hours. Sunarto said it involved students because they wanted Macapat to be known by the younger generation, so that in the future it would not be extinct, eroded by time. Macapat itself is Javanese literature which contains songs about daily life. There are 15 ancient Macapat texts that are sung or developed. The texts were deliberately chosen in accordance with the situation and condition of the nation. One example, Serat Wulangreh, was created by the King of Surakarta, Sri Susuhunan Pakubuwana IV. The text contains the advice given by the king to his people to achieve a life full of harmony. The following news came from Jember, East Java. A number of University of Jember researchers, together with researchers from Bogor Agricultural Institute, IPB, are exploring collaborative research on carbon footprints. Dekan of the Faculty of Economics and Management of IPB, Dr. Nunung Nuriatono, said on Tuesday that his carbon footprint research measured the amount of carbon dioxide, CO2, produced in Indonesia, especially by households. According to him, in 2010, Indonesia was ranked 12th, but in 2012, it rose to 5th place and then dropped back to 12th position in 2015. In the study conducted, the reduction in carbon dioxide produced by Indonesia in 2015 was influenced by policy revocation of fuel subsidies made by the government, energy-saving awareness campaigns, and increasingly improved public transportation. The results of these studies can be an input for the government in determining the economic policies that will be implemented. The pioneering collaboration began with a sharing session between the Dekan of the Faculty of Economics and Management IPB, who is also carbon footprint researcher, with interdisciplinary researchers at University of Jember in the postgraduate building on Monday afternoon, October 22nd. The activity themed Inequality Carbon Footprint in Indonesia was facilitated by the University of Jember Postgraduate Study Program and the SDGs Research Group. In addition to being attended by researchers at the Tegal Boto campus, the discussion also used video conference facilities so that researchers from universities and other institutions could participate. The latest news came from Yogyakarta. Dozens of medical personnel and toxic experts from Asian member countries on Tuesday gathered in Yogyakarta to discuss standards for handling diseases caused by snake bites and venomous marine animals. The event was part of the 5th International Symposium 2018 on the Asian Marine Animals and Snake Environment and Venoming Management, AMSEM, which took place in Yogyakarta until October 26th. The president of the Toxicology Society of Indonesia, Dr. Tri Maharani, on the sidelines of the event, said for decades the bite of snakes and poisonous marine animals has become a neglected problem in Indonesia. Even though the disease caused by snake bites is one of the most fatal diseases, as an agricultural country with the longest coastline in Southeast Asia, according to her, snake bites are one of the complex problems in Indonesia. She added that ecosystem damage also contributes to increasing cases of bites of venomous animals to humans. Data from Remote Envenomation Consultant Service, RACS, in 2017 showed cases of snake bite disease numbered up to 135,000 cases per year, compared to cancer cases with 133,000 recorded per year. She also explained the Toxicology Society of Indonesia and the Malaysian Society on Toxicology will sign a Memorandum of Understanding on cooperation in education, training, and research in handling the effects of snake and venomous animal bites. Well, listener, that was news from across the country.
Today in History. presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again through Area World Service Voice of Indonesia in our daily program Today in History. The first information is about the second Youth Congress in Jakarta. The first Indonesian Youth Congress was held in Jakarta from 30 to 2nd of May 1926. It focused on the importance of building Indonesian youth unity and integrity of platform so that they could achieve the independence of Indonesia. The Congress was led by Muhammad Tabrani, founder of the first Youth Congress. After the successful implementation of the first Youth Congress, the second Youth Congress was held in Jakarta from 27 to 28 of October 1928. The second one was a youth movement forum producing decision, namely pledging a bid to establish an independent Indonesian state. The movement was known as the Youth Pledge. The Youth Pledge initiated the Indonesian independence movement. The second Youth Congress was led by a youth named Sugondo Joyo Fuad Vito, who was also chairman of Indonesian Student Associations. Besides being attended by envoy of youth organizations, the Congress was also attended by envoy of senior organizations, individuals, representatives of Volkstad, also present during the Dutch occupation, journalists, and many others. The second information is about the National Electricity Day. After successfully taking back the electricity and gas company from the seizure of Japan, a delegate of electricity and gas company discussed with President Sukarno to hand over the company to the Indonesian government. The handover of the company was accepted by President Sukarno, then based on the Government Regulation No. 1945 on 27 October 1945. Education Managing Electricity and Gas under the Ministry of Public Works and Energy was formed. Since then, National Electricity and Gas Day was marked on 27 of October 1945. The moment was commemorated in Yogyakarta for the first time on 27 of October 1946. The commemoration of the National Electricity and Gas Day every 27 of October was declared based on the decree of the Minister of Public Works and Energy No. 20, 1960. However, later, based on the decree of the Minister of Public Works and Electricity No. 235, 1975, on 30 of September 1975, the National Electricity and Gas Day was celebrated together with the Public Works and Electricity Service Day on December 3rd. Considering the spirit and values of Electricity Day, the commemoration was set on 27 of October again, based on the decree of Minister of Mining and Energy No. 1134, 1992, on 31st of August 1992. The last information is that the first Pakistani president, Iskandar Mirza, was forced to resign after the coup attempt on October 27, 1958, done by General Ayub Khan. Iskandar Mirza had been appointed as the last Pakistani Governor General in 1956. Pakistan Revenge's first constitution and the position of Governor General was superseded by the position of President. Mirza was officially elected as president by the Pakistani Council. In his presidency, Pakistan was politically unstable and it was marked by the resignation of four prime ministers in 2 years. Realizing that the 1956 constitution caused political instability, Mirza announced the implementation of emergency constitution on 7 October 1958. He inaugurated commander of the Pakistani army, Ayub Khan, as the administrator of the emergency state. However, Ayub manipulated the chance to force Mirza to resign within 3 weeks after the implementation of the emergency constitution and secluded Mirza to England. Afterwards, Ayub Khan declared himself as a Pakistani president on 27 October after a bloodless coup attempt. Meanwhile, Mirza was in exile in London until his death in 1969. Listener, that was Today in History. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in Economy, International Politics, Sports, Environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with daily segment My Indonesia, which today is on 2018 Indonesia Trade Expo targets transactions of $1.5 billion. President Joko Widodo inaugurated the largest trade exhibition in Indonesia on a world scale, 2018 Trade Expo Indonesia TEI at ICE BSD South Tangerang, Wednesday, October 24th. President Jokowi was accompanied by the Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Darmin Nasution, Minister of Trade, Enggar Tiasto Lukita, Head of the Creative Economy Agency, Triawan Munaf, and Chair of the Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Kadin, Rosan Ruslani, and Banten Governor Wahidin Halim. A number of ambassadors from friendly countries and business people were also present at the event. In his opening speech, the President reminded all parties to Indonesia's deficit balance. He said Indonesia's current account deficit was recorded at $17.3 billion. According to President Jokowi, this large number must be corrected immediately by encouraging exports. President Jokowi asked the Ministry of Trade and Indonesian ambassadors in non-traditional countries to spur national exports. A total of 44 trade and investment contracts were signed on the first day of the 2018 Indonesia Trade Expo. The value of the trade contract was $5.19 billion, consisting of trade transactions and investment. During 2018 Indonesia Trade Expo, it was estimated that 68 contracts were signed for the purchase mission, among others from South Korea, Australia, Saudi Arabia, and Japan. In this case, the Ministry of Trade is targeting the transaction value as long as TEI is able to reach $1.5 billion. The 2018 Indonesia Trade Expo, which runs from October 24th to 28th, shows all Indonesian products from various fields, including industry, mining, agriculture, and handicrafts. There are also superior handicraft products made by prisoners from various penitentiaries in Indonesia. These products include wood furniture, various items made of batik, footballs, and leather products. 2018 Indonesia Trade Expo also exhibits marine products and fisheries. Promotional activities with the theme From Our Sea to the World are organized by the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries in collaboration with the Ministry of Trade and Ministry of Foreign Affairs. This promotion involved 20 participants from the fisheries business and the provincial and district governments. The 2018 Trade Expo Indonesia is themed Creating Products for Global Opportunities. In the official statement of the Ministry of Trade, as of October 23, 2018, more than 8,000 buyers had been registered from 124 countries. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia for today.
Here is the news in brief. President Joko Widodo appointed Shafiq Mughni to become the Presidential Special Envoy for Interfaith Dialogue and Civilization Cooperation to replace Din Samsudin, who resigned on 21 September. Vice President Yusuf Kalla held a meeting with the leaders of Islamic organizations at his official residence in Jakarta on Friday night. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi hopes that the young generations will again understand the momentum of Youth Odd Pledge Day to respect and maintain unity so that conflict will not occur as it happens in many other countries. Coordinating Minister of Human Development Puan Maharani opened Fair of Real Work in 2018 at Koni Sario Square, Manado City, North Sulawesi on Friday. Indonesian and Egyptian business people have signed business deals worth $67.5 million during the 5-day Trade Expo Indonesia 2018, which will end on Sunday. Indonesia has mineral resources that can be utilized in the field of electricity. The Indonesian government encourages all people to improve the use of Indonesian language in daily communication. That's news in brief.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 3325 kHz. You can also listen through audio streaming at www.voinews.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to Sukabumi Regency to enjoy Sawer Waterfall. So, stay tuned! Listener, Sukabumi Regency in West Java Province has beautiful and interesting natural wealth, which is worthy being visited, namely the area of Mount Gede Pangrango National Park. At the park, there is Sawer Waterfall. The waterfall is located at Sukamaju Village, Kadu Dampit District, Sukabumi Regency. Listener, from its name, the tourism object is quite unique, because Sawer in Indonesian language means to spread money. The name of Sawer Waterfall appears because the amount of splash waterfall comes from the center of the waterfall. Therefore, although you are from the waterfall, your body will get wet due to the splash of the waterfall. Thus, it is named Sawer Waterfall. At this tourism object, you can see some rivers which are usually used for taking a bath, especially for you who are resistant to cold. Because Sawer Waterfall is located at an altitude between 900 until 1,300 meters above sea level. Listener, to go to Sawer Waterfall, tourists can be through gateway of Situ Gunung Resort of Mount Gede Pangrango National Park's Hall at Kadu Dampit District, Sukabumi. From the gateway, they can walk or rent motorcycle along 1.2 kilometers. If you rent motorcycle, you only pay 20,000 rupiahs, and around 240 meters, you must walk for about 3 minutes, passing hanging bridge which will give different sensation. You do not have to worry to be lost, because at every point directing to Sawer Waterfall, there is a guide who will give you information. When walking on the hanging bridge, you can see down and enjoy green trees such as Rasa Mala, which has height around 30 meters. Thank you. Listener, if you visit Sawer Waterfall at dry season, please use mask because there is a lot of dust on the street. And if you visit on rainy season, you should be careful because the road which is passed is slippery, so that it is prone to accident. The facility at the waterfall is similar with other waterfalls in general. Here, there are restaurants which sell Sundanese typical foods. There are also restroom and mask. If tourists want to ask something, there is also information center which is ready to serve them. Listener, at the Sawer Waterfall Complex, there is camping ground. If you do not bring camping equipment, you can run to the manager of the tourism object. You can also stay at hotel or villa around the complex. If you have hobby of taking pictures on the beauty of the nature, please do not forget to bring your own camera, so you can take pictures of the beautiful scenery. The nature of the surrounding waterfall area is still protected, so please do not be shocked if you meet wild monkeys in your trip. The most important thing is that please keep protecting cleanliness and environment by throwing garbage on proper place. Well, listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Sawer Waterfall in Sukabumi. I'm Putri Savitri Ardela. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. Thank you for still being with us at Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please send your email to voi@voinews.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment, Miscellany.
Miscellany. Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, and this edition presents the topic of Indonesian language increasingly in demand by foreigners. Stay tuned in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia on frequencies of 3325 kHz or at www.voinews.id or through the RRI Play application. From year to year, the interest of foreigners to learn Indonesian or Bahasa Indonesia is increasing. In late 2017, Indonesian was studied in 45 countries around the world. Now, it is increasingly in demand in Saudi Arabia. The Indonesian Language Course for Foreign Speakers class held by the Indonesian Consulate General in Jeddah is always crowded with Saudis and expatriates living in Jeddah and the surrounding cities. The Indonesian Consul General in Jeddah, Muhammad Heri Saripudin, said the number of the program enthusiasts continue to increase from year to year. Previously, this program was held only once a year, but this year, the Indonesian language teaching program is conducted 3 times a year because there are many interested people who want to study. According to Consul General Heri, many participants wanted to learn Indonesian because they work in the area of serving pilgrims and umrah. The Indonesian Consul General in Jeddah held a second batch of the program for 2018, which was officially opened by the Indonesian Consul General on October 15. The opening of the course batch 2 was followed by 62 students consisting of 50 Saudis, 8 Yemen citizens, 1 Jordanian national, 1 US citizen, and 2 participants each from Mauritania and Pakistan. The chairperson of the organizing committee, Ahmad Sofyan, said within the next 2 weeks, 107 participants will submit the registration file. He added that the second batch of the program instructors were imported from Semarang State University in Indonesia as a result of the collaborative effort initiated by the Indonesian Consulate General in Jeddah with universities in the capital city of Central Java. In addition to Saudi Arabia, the University of Vienna, one of the oldest and largest universities in Austria, now opens an Indonesian language program for the winter class from October to January 2019 period. The Indonesian Embassy in Vienna said the initiated program by the Embassy in Vienna, supported by the Indonesian Ministry of Culture, and is open to students and staff of the University of Vienna. The Indonesian language program is currently open for beginners and intermediate classes. At the beginner level, learning focuses on mastering the Indonesian language for everyday conversation, while the intermediate class is more on grammar mastery and the development of reading and writing skills. This collaboration was initiated in 2017, while the inaugural program of Indonesian language teaching at the University of Vienna carried out in the summer period and was officially opened by Indonesian Ambassador to the Republic of Austria, Darmansyah Jumala, in March. Unlike the Indonesian language class in the previous summer semester period, Indonesian language classes this winter officially become part of the curriculum at the University of Vienna under the Department of Social Anthropology and Culture, Faculty of Social Sciences. It is expected that undergraduates and postgraduate students from various faculties and departments can take Indonesian language courses to obtain 3 credit points in the semester credit unit system applicable at the university, namely European credit transfer and accumulation system credits. Darmansyah Jumala said that the Indonesian Embassy in Vienna welcomed the official Indonesian language class in the curriculum at the University of Vienna. Indonesian language in academia and Austria society is needed to support research and higher education cooperation between the universities of the two countries. This is in line with the increasing trend of trade and investment relations between Indonesia and Austria. That was Miss Leni today. We'll meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. See you.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miss Leni on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Putri, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you Indah Dewi Pertiwi. To initiate our segment, Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Baru Aku Tahu Cinta Itu Apa. So, stay with us at www.voinews.id or frequency 3325 kHz.
Ada saat hatimu.
Listener, you've just listened to the first song entitled Baru Aku Tahu Cinta Itu Apa, sung by Indah Dewi Pertiwi. The song became the beginning of Indah Dewi Pertiwi's career in the entertainment world, especially Indonesian music industry. Baru Aku Tahu Apa Itu Cinta is the main song in her first album entitled Hypnotize, and it was released in 2010. Since 2010, Indah has succeeded to release some albums such as Hypnotize in 2010, Teman Terindah in 2012, and Deja Vu in 2015. Her album entitled Hypnotize, which consists of 12 songs, was sold out more than 2 million copies. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Cintamu Adalah Takdirku, sung by Indah Dewi Pertiwi Viteku Wisnu.
Demi Tuhan hatiku langsung jadi milikmu. Pertama ku bertemu, sungguh mati cintaku, sudah inginkan kamu menjadi kekasihku. Untukku saja cintaku ada. Selama hidupku, aku yang paling mampu selamanya di sisimu sampai aku mati.
Listener, you are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in the segment Music Corner which is discussing about Indah Dewi Pertiwi. Accompanied with suitable music, Indah Dewi Pertiwi and Tengku Wisnu are able to give messages which want to be delivered. The song, which tells about a belief of love to complement each other, became soundtrack of a cinema entitled Cinta Fitri, a serial drama that was aired on a national private television in 2010. Well, listener, that was our segment Music Corner for today, featuring Indah Dewi Pertiwi. To conclude our segment, let's listen to the following two songs entitled Hypnotis and Gejolak Cinta. Gejolak Cinta will be sung in duet with Sandi Sandoro. I'm Putri Safitri Adela. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Kamu suruh datang, mau. Kamu suruh pergi, mau. Kamu suruh diam, mau.
Mau-maunya.
Diciumin kamu, mau. Diduain juga, mau. Dicuekin juga, mau. Kamu janji ini, mau. Kamu beri itu, mau. Dibohongin juga, mau.
Mau-maunya aku.
Kamu suruh datang, mau. Kamu suruh pergi, mau. Kamu suruh diam, mau.
Mau-maunya
aku. Kamu apakan aku. Jadinya begini. Rasanya seperti kamu hipnotis aku. Kamu, kamu hipnotis aku. Kamu, kamu hipnotis aku. Kamu, kamu hipnotis aku. Kamu, kamu hipnotis aku.
Down.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.